The Incapable John by Daniel Johnston. Read by Daniel Johnston. The staff bustled back and forth in the busy hospital, performing all their daily duties. It was an exhausting job, especially given the sadness of the place. Rarely did patients get better at Daly Rye Hospital. Though the environment was sad like a normal hospital, it was that way for a different reason. Instead of patients in critical conditions with nice, loving families surrounding them, the patients of this hospital didn't die, and their families hardly visited them. It was a hospital for the insane. Of all the inmates in the hospital, John was probably considered the least likely to recover, both by the doctors, the staff, the family, and, most importantly, himself. John was 42 years old and had long been given up as incurable, psychotic. That day was just like any other for John. He woke up from a dreamless sleep and felt numb, hopeless. Yet that threshold between sleeping and waking was the time he came closest to feeling something. He felt a vague dread, something just below his awareness, but definitely there. That was it for the rest of the day, though. There was no eating or drinking. The staff had to feed him through tubes. He had no will to do anything whatsoever. That had died long ago. He didn't talk. The only type of communication he used was to occasionally grunt if he needed food or water. That didn't happen much, though, because they gave him more food and liquid than he wanted. The best doctors in the country had gone to great pains to try to heal him, but all of their best efforts had failed. At last, they had simply declared he was mentally incompetent and psychotic, and so they assumed he didn't think, yet think he did. His thoughts were like misty clouds, insubstantial and fleeting. This was a combination of the meds he was on and his hopelessness towards life. John usually thought a little about what was going on around him. The nurses, the TV, the other patients, although he couldn't process any of it. Often his thoughts drifted to the past. For all of his other faculties that had been rendered useless, his memory was still intact. But there was no emotion to any of the memories, so he couldn't use them to escape by recalling the good times he had. After all, for him, no good times were possible. On this day, when the staff went in to check on him, they didn't even say hi or ask how he was because they thought he was just an empty shell. But his thoughts were on how he had ended up at Daly Rye. Surprisingly enough, it was a subject he'd never thought about before. He was hopeless. And that was it. In pre-K, the problem started. I never fit in. My mom always punished me because I couldn't do anything right. He could not feel the hopelessness that he looked on these past events with. He was past the point of feeling anything. Oh, school. I couldn't do even the most basic things. I can still barely read. They tried to push me through middle school, but they couldn't baby me through high school. That's when they realized I couldn't do anything. It was a relief because I didn't have to put up with their expectations. My relationship with my little sister proved that. The staff was just about to leave when John began to cry. The great surprise the staff felt was like an earthquake. Occasionally she'd heard stories of incredible recovery, but she didn't believe it would actually happen to any of the patients she worked with. She had been told John would never feel anything. He was mentally dead. After she got over the initial shock, she thought, "What a dreamer I am! It must be just a physical response to something irritating him." No matter what the initial surprise of the staff, it was nothing compared to John's surprise. He hadn't felt anything since the beginning of high school. He had rendered himself incapable. But now he felt something for the first time. It was like living in a dark cave all your life and suddenly the floodlights were turned on. What in the world just happened? And as John's crying continued, he started to move his body and realized he could talk. In his utter amazement, one thought filled his mind. I can do anything I want to do. As he looked down at his arm moving, he quickly thought about the events of his life again. He had thought he couldn't do anything all his life, and so he just had a hopeless outlook. He behaved as if he could do nothing. And so everyone else believed it too, but it was just a belief, as insubstantial as sand falling through your fingers. as the staff was still trying to figure out what was making him cry. John attempted to get up and realized he was being held down by her sprains. He spoke for the first time in over 20 years and said, "Could you please undo these restraints?" The nurse looked at him like he had three heads. She could tell by his face that life had been restored in him, and her attitude shifted from scientific to magical. People could be healed. The man in front of her was living proof. She could not speak in her awe, but simply undid his restraints and watched him go, her mouth gaping wide open. As he walked past the other staff and doctors, John was unnoticed. Daily Rai was for people who couldn't function, so there was no reason to think anyone would try to escape. If they had the capacity to do so, they shouldn't be at that hospital anyways. When John saw the doctor who had treated him, he couldn't resist telling him, "Thank you," before he continued walking. The doctor, involved in his work, was about to give off the customary, "You're welcome," when he realized he'd never heard that voice before. He turned around behind him and then stood motionless as he saw John, the mentally dead patient, walking out of the hospital with a smile on his face. Later, the doctor heard about what happened from the staff who had been there. He went to John's house and talked to him and learned the truth that you are not incapable. He passed this on to many other patients, some of whom also had miraculous recoveries. His colleagues wanted to know his secret, and he told them, but no words could ever describe the joyous image of John walking out of the hospital, of the incapable turned capable, of death into life. John opened the door and saw the brilliant sun, felt the cold air rushing through him. He was still wearing the garb of a mental patient, but he didn't care. The sun was a sight he had not seen in over 20 years. The freeness of the breeze was a feeling he believed he would never have again, but he did. John felt it again because he was never incapable. He just thought he was.